It's your girl of Suhaiti, your go-to chica for all things love, and you're listening to Self Love Served Raw, where we dish on self-love, relationships, and personal development sin pelo en la lengua. Now let's get raw. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 5 of Self Love Served Raw. Today's episode is Part 1 of a topic that I'm really excited to bring you with Rebecca Gitana. It's about men and how men, yes, men can empower themselves by honoring themselves and using their voice to get their needs met. So this is for men, but also for the women and men who love them. We're going to talk about relationships and relationship dynamics and how we both have a lot to do, a lot of work to do to get to a healthy place, not only within ourselves, but also in romantic relationships. So here's the episode. Make sure to subscribe, review this podcast, and enjoy. I'm so excited to introduce you all to Rebecca Gitana. She's a transformational guide that focuses on home healing, sacred sexuality, and overall spiritual maintenance. Rebecca is also a self-taught and award-nominated content creator and producer. So welcome. welcome.
Yes.
So bring us into this whole honoring your voice and your needs. I know that we talked a little bit about why it's so important for men to have this episode, right?
Yes. It's so important for men to have this episode and for women to listen to this episode because as the sacred feminine is rising and we're hearing, you know, the goddess and all of this and like women elevating and stepping into their true power, what's happening is that the men are either getting left behind or they're struggling to meet the goddess or they're just on their own journey of transformation and growth into this new era. I love it. My favorite YouTube astrologer, Kelly Rosano, she's amazing. She calls this the new era, like air, because we're in the air, we're in the age of Aquarius. So in this new era, it's going to be really important for us to actually meet each other in this new place. And there are a lot of men who are doing the work. And I know that because I've worked with countless men over the last 5 years as a sacred sexuality teacher and hands-on practitioner and working with men in the most intimate of spaces and ways, understanding their condition at this time, understanding their desires for intimacy, understanding their growing awareness of the places in within themselves that they need to heal. And it's been really, really fascinating. And it's helped me as a woman in my relationships with men that I have been intimate with or just platonic friendships. It's helped me to really understand the condition of men so much more. And it's a really powerful time for men and for women as we meet each other in this new way. You know, we are not having sex the same way. We are not dating the same way. A lot of the old ways and rules, they're so outdated that even if it tries to get used, it doesn't even stick.
And how so? Can you give me an example? I'd love to hear your take on that.
Yeah, like for instance, for me, I remember being single even in last years, because I've been in an established bond for almost 2 years now, but before that, dealing with men who have bad habits, like, you know, we see each other, we're intimate, and then you kind of disappear in a way.
The ghosting. Yes. So,
yeah. And you show up, and it's not that you don't wanna, but the way you're showing up afterwards, it's not acceptable. And it's like, no, like I'm a woman, like the way that I'm set up is I am going to have a feeling. I am going to feel a certain way. And according to you guys out there, you don't want women that are so emotionally cold that you're bouncing around, right? So what are you expecting from me then? Like, do you not understand that there is a protocol of giving thanks for seeing me? That there is a protocol of being respectful? You know, so there's certain things that just haven't been sticking. Ways of communication, like, no, you're not going to talk to me like that.
When do you think that shifted though? Because I mean, I've been single it's been 2 years as of 2018, December 2018. And I haven't really dated much, COVID aside. I just needed time to heal. And I also I tried the online dating thing a couple of times. I met my ex online dating, but it's a situation where, like, even when I'm dating online, right, or I've attempted to date online again after being in a relationship for 5 years, that even feels different, right? Like, the guy's messaging and messaging for weeks and never asking you out on a date, or like wanting to text you once you exchange numbers and never really wanting to invest time, right? And then when I come off with demands, like, you know, or what they think are demands, like, so what are we doing? So let's get together. So are we going to meet in person? So can we do a FaceTime? Like, can we get off the phone? Like, they think I'm being demanding, that, you know? So it's like, I don't, like, when did the switch happen? Because I remember there was a time that I did online date and meet guys, and they were a lot more proactive to, like, get to know me. And a lot of women that I speak to have the same experiences when they're dating guys now, whether they meet them online or off, like, they just don't want to commit to, like, even getting to know one woman, you know, like, investing that time to even get to know you.
The shift, I think, happened for me when the shift happened really within myself, because I can't control what a man is going to do. I can only control with what I do and how I show up in the scenario. So one is, I'm not going to shame myself for being vulnerable, because relationships are meant to be vulnerable. We're not supposed to be wham, bam, thank you, ma'am energies out here. So that's the first thing. Second is, like, actually talking a little bit more about, like, expectations. A lot of times we can meet somebody online or meet somebody, right? And we don't really say, like, hey, what is it actually that you're looking for right now? Like, are you looking for a friend? Are you looking for someone to heal with from your ex? Are you looking for a wife? Are you looking to create a family? And not saying to them, like, if you say yes, that means that you want it with me. It just means, like, what are you looking for in your journey?
Right.
And this is what I'm looking for in my journey. Not saying that it's you, because that's the other thing. You have to make it clear. They'll be like, oh my gosh, she's looking for a husband right now. And that can maybe be intimidating because they don't know you yet. But just letting them know, like, I'm actually here to date because I want to have a baby. I'm here to date because I really want to create a family. Or I'm here to date because I just got out of a 5-year relationship and I want to have somebody to, like, get ice cream with on the weekends. So talking about those expectations, right? And asking them. And I think a lot of times women, we don't really ask men those things. We just tell them what we want. And then we think that because we tell them what we want, that that automatically equals that that's what they need to fall in line with. But that's not how it works.
My whole thing is, if I have on my online dating profile, I'm looking for a relationship, and you have casual, stop, don't message me.
Yeah.
You do have to kind of, like, what are you contributing? What energy are you putting out there? And what are you accepting? Because that was the biggest thing for me. I was saying I wanted X, Y, and Z, but then I was accepting ABC.
And that's the thing. And that's where we have to keep ourselves accountable.
Right.
It's like, you want the whole damn lobster tail, but you're taking the fucking salmon croquette.
Yes. I don't eat either of those, but I got the analogy.
You got it, right? So it's very much in that way. And it's funny because when I started getting into working with men and working as a sacred sexuality teacher, it's something that was always inside of me. But then the opportunity presented itself. The universe brought me to that place. And automatically, when I started doing the work, my relationships with men changed. One, because in working as a sacred sexuality teacher, every time that a client, a male client, had access to me, he had to pay a lot of money to be in my energy, right? So now, in my mind, my time and energy, I could see a tangible value to it, you know? And I'm not saying that everybody has to work as a sacred sexuality teacher to get this concept, but I'm sharing this with you so you can feel it for yourself, you know? Every time I would sit down with a client, I'm like, okay, we're here, we're doing this, and I'm getting my paper. And now I help you, and now you go on your way. So then when I would be on a date with someone, or someone wants to hang out with me, I would really think to myself, like, am I getting what I need to get out of this? Or am I just exhausting my energy? Is this serving me? Like, should I be at home resting and, like, taking care of myself intimately and then working more and making money and being like, listen, I don't got to deal with all of that drama. So it kind of made me value my time more. And then also in this work, my voice with men, using my voice, because in a session, I'm direct. I'm not, there's nothing personal here. I'm not your woman. So I'm going to tell you straight up what it is clearly, but not in a way that's so overly emotional and I'm so tangled up in it, but being really clear about what it is. And practicing that even helped me so much. Even in the time when for a few years I had a female partner, and not dealing with men also helped me to practice my voice with men. So I just want to say, I say that to say, reflect upon the habits and the ways that you're used to talking to men and expressing your needs and desires, and start to approach them from a way that's less emotional. Not that your emotions aren't valid, but that being emotional, being an emotional communicator, might not always be the best route.
Last week's episode was with marriage and family therapist, and we talked about emoting and communication and the two different types of communicators. And when you have to find the balance between being like the emotive communicator and then the one that doesn't say anything, that's like super passive. There's the balance.
Exactly.
Usually women are the emoters and we're like, right, we're wrapped up and we're communicating. Yes. And men usually pull back and then retreat. So there's not really a dialogue happening there, right? So it was really interesting that you're saying the same thing from this perspective. So for men specifically, how do they use their voice? Like, what does that mean?
I think men need to use their voice in a way that actually expresses what they're feeling. Men have been taught to be more of a leader and commanding energy with their voice, as opposed to saying, I'm needy and soft. And scared and hurting, maybe even, whereas a woman could be like, oh, I'm stressed, blah, blah. But men don't necessarily tend to do that. And they actually tend to hold it back, those feelings. There's some men that are very good, but then it's like too much.
I've met more vulnerable men, but then it's like, whoa.
Yeah, their throat chakra is like, it's too overactive.
And for those who don't understand throat chakra, what does that mean?
Yeah, your throat chakra is the energy center that resonates with your expression, your voice, how you share in the world. And sometimes our throat chakra can be agitated and out of whack. And so we might be yelling or holding back our emotions and our expressions. So there's different ways that our throat chakra could need some love. And yes, some men are very emotional and they get shamed for it also, which is, you know, it's not great. And so from talking to a lot of men, even before this, they mentioned how the woman will tell them you can be emotional, but then when they are, then the woman is like, oh dear, they freak out. And then now the man is now put back into the shadows of not being able to express himself.
I can see that happening because you hear it a lot. I hear it a lot with like female friends when I was single or even growing up, like, I want a man that's sensitive. I want a man that's thoughtful, but I want a man that puts me in my place. Oh, well, I want a guy that's sensitive, but he can't be crying all the time. Like, oh no, like be a man. So it's confusing messages to men. Like, am I supposed to be a big tough guy that puts you in your place? Or can I be sensitive? And if I'm sensitive, how sensitive? Like, what degree of sensitive? So that puts limitations on how much a man can express and feel, right?
Yes. And, you know, when we spoke about the purpose of this episode, we spoke about how we wanted to really explore how men are consciously healing these parts of them that are out of harmony, you know, such as the throat chakra, the heart chakra, your heart space, different parts of us that are out of whack, and how this disharmony is due to societal structures, right? How they're due to generational baggage, you know, the stuff you learn from your abuelo and your tios, and like,
oh my God, don't get me started, because I have a son, he's 4 years old, And I try to honor his feelings and like, baby, if you want to cry, it's okay. Like, tell mommy how you feel.
Absolutely. And so that's like the work as a mom, you know, as a woman in this era is to like really reframe those thoughts and to really reframe how we are communicating about certain things. And yeah, these toxic expectations are harmful. They're super, super harmful. And many times from the men that I've talked to, even most recently, because I had this conversation with a few met friends and clients, and they spoke about how sometimes it was the dads and the men in their lives, and sometimes it was even the moms pushing certain toxic expectations, like, you know, you're a man, you can do what you want, or whatever it is. So it's very interesting. And we're all healing from these toxic dynamics. And that's why even as women, we can sometimes perpetuate them and we can also be victim of them. So it's very interesting. And our current relationship dynamics, they still have the residue of all of that stuff. And so as women, we're learning how to be new ways because, you know, as women too, we went through a cycle of like, you know, the rebellion, like, I don't need no man, or we could do whatever we want. And like, when it comes to sex and finding our power and all of that is great. You know, I'm all for that. And then it can get to a point where now it can become a little too much out of like, it's not in harmony, because any extreme is not going to be in harmony with the greater whole of things. And so that's the key, like just trying to figure out that harmony within ourselves and to see how we're adding to the toxicity of things. You know, are we holding our voices back? Are we not listening? We women, I'm sorry, but we really don't listen to men. It's really not nice. And I've even been guilty of it.
I have to admit, I'm not a great listener.
Yeah. And it's really terrible. It's toxic. And it's like, when we're not listening to our partners, we're also not listening to the dynamics and the needs of our relationship. So we're not even honoring ourselves at the same time. Yet when we have needs and desires, we want them to hear it. We want them to say it back to us that we heard. I want you to tell me that you heard what I said. And it's like, are we doing that for the men in our lives? I want to say not so much. And I think it's something that we can all work on as women. And the reason why we do that is because we're also taught in this dynamic that men really don't have feelings, that they're like a piece of meat with two eyes. They're not really like, you know, here with it when it comes to emotions and feelings and desires, but yet they are. And then we wonder why there's these like really big rifts in relationships.
What can we do? Well, what can men do to honor their voice and their needs, whether they're single or not, just like as individuals, right? Like, what work do they need to start doing?
It's really taking care of yourself. I even want to go to some of these quotes from some of the men. So when I ask men, like, what does that mean to honor yourself? You know, a lot of the men said, you know, making sure that they are a priority. And I think that that's a really big key. We have to respect the fact that many men have been taught really not to be a priority in many ways. Like, we think that that women are the only martyrs, but men are also taught, like, don't worry about your feelings. If your feet hurt, if you got, you know, holes in the bottom of your shoe, if you just go to work, be the man, take care of your family. But I definitely think that when it comes to like prioritizing their self-care, their mental health, even their physical health, you know, how many men don't go to the doctor? And the other thing that men said when it comes to honoring themselves is not sacrificing their needs and their desires for other people, you know, and they notice that they can want to be like in service of their woman so much that they could actually like now avoid their own needs and their own desires.
That's interesting because yeah. I think that women feel that way too.
Yeah.
I know so many women who feel like they're very self-sacrificial.
Yes.
And they put their careers on hold because they have kids and they want to, you know, or the man doesn't want to have kids, so they wait, or the man doesn't want to get married, so they wait. So a lot of women that I talk to, that I interview, feel the exact same way. So I'm curious where that Like there's a disconnect there because both feel like they're sacrificing for the other, but nobody feels like their needs are being met.
Yeah, it's interesting. And remember, as dynamics change, as women are, you know, are CEOs and, you know, entrepreneurs and all of these things, the dynamics have changed. And there are many men who live in more service to their partners, actually. So like, yeah, absolutely. Like my man and me, I'm more of the entrepreneur, the out there. And many times he will be the one, you know, making a big pot of lentils and like tidying up. It those dynamics do exist. You know, sometimes women, our energy could be so overpowering that even if it's not like a financial thing or a career thing, it can still be just like an energetic thing, you know, like the woman, some men are scared of their woman, like, and they want to please her. And like, so they wind up sacrificing their needs. So again, it's just evaluating these dynamics and just recognizing that men do want to have their needs met as well. Men feel like when they're honoring themselves, when they do what is good for them and not just good for everyone else, and also doing things, self-honor to some men also means doing the things that you know you must do to stay focused, like exercise and meditation and like eating well and like checking in with themselves. So increasingly, men are becoming aware of these needs. It's just a matter of their environment making space for that.
I'm curious, have you seen like a shift culturally, like as Latinas?
No, it's definitely different. Like certain cultures have some really toxic masculine behaviors. Latino men have a lot of toxic traits that are passed down, not just from the men, but from the women. Indian men also have a lot of toxic traits in how they relate to women, how they think their entitlement. It shows up in many different ways for different people. But then there are some, you know, Latino men who I've worked with who are really doing the work and who are coming to work with me and like meeting other shamans, and they're doing the healing work and they're doing the reflecting work. White men who are understanding that they need to be more receptive and be kinder. So it goes across the board, but there's definitely certain pockets where it's like, not that there's some that are doing it more than the others, but it's showing up in different ways because of different societal structures that they were born into and different cultural dynamics. So it's very interesting. And even, you know, with Black men, African-American men, there's so much there even that is being healed for them. We have to remember that we're all dealing with generational trauma. If you're a white man, you're dealing with generational shame, even a lot of that ugliness that your ancestors may have done, you got to deal with it right now. People of color dealing with things like slavery, the tearing apart of families, the destruction of tribes, that creates a rift in our dynamics. And we have to remember that a lot of these dynamics that we're dealing with today, they were created on purpose. So like the destruction of the Black family, that's a real thing.
That's right.
So yeah, so we're still dealing with that today. The anger, the resentments, and even the lies that were told generations back that even today we're still sorting through. So that's why we have to be gentle and we have to really have these conversations with our man or with our men and be like, yo, like, do you see this? Like, did your parents do this? Because this is reminding me of what my abuelo and my abuela did. Like, you know, like, what's that about?
For women, that the resentment that we have with the men in our lives plays out in our relationships, whether it's abandonment issues, something I've felt and carried over through relationships. Yes. So it's important to also look at how we need to heal as women in order to have these healthier relationships with like healthy men, right? Like we both have to heal, men and women, we all have to heal.
We all have to heal. It's not for one or the other.
Y'all heard that? Healing is for both, not for one or the other. That concludes part one of my episode with Rejoeca Gitana. I'm so excited for part two, where she's going to share tips and what we can do to not only honor our voice and our needs, but to come together and learn how to heal as individuals, specifically for men, but again, for the men and the women that love them and want to take this journey on with them as well. I want to thank Rebecca for being here. I want to thank her for all her insight. Make sure to follow her on social media. I'm going to post all of her information if you want to work with her, her website, in the podcast description. But it's Rebecca Gitana. And again, it's going to be all in the show notes. Come back next week for the second part of the episode. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow me on social media at Love Sue Haiti. And rate and review. I appreciate it. We're doing so great. I'm having so much fun bringing all this content to you all. I'm happy to be back, and I'm happy with all the feedback. So keep sharing what you want to hear, what's working, what's not. I really appreciate it. And stay tuned for next week with more Rebecca.